Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You live for planning the perfect trip. The thrill of comparing hotels, scoring that impossible reservation, and piecing together an unforgettable itinerary. You already think like a travel advisor, so why not just be one? Fora is a modern travel agency built for people who love to plan vacations and help others travel well. As a Fora advisor, you'll be set up for success with best-in-class training, powerful booking tools, and a vibrant global community of experts sharing real insider tips. Fora helps you turn your love of planning vacations into a business with a flexible, meaningful stream of income, with commission on every hotel, cruise, and activity you book. And with access to more than 7,000 preferred partners, you'll unlock VIP perks like upgrades, resort credits, and late checkout, giving you and your clients the kind of elevated travel experiences regular travelers simply don't get. Getting started is as easy as booking trips for people you already know. Become a Fora advisor today at foratravel.com/earn. That's foratravel.com/earn.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside. Today I'm with my guy Ope and so a new guy in the building, Daniel. Daniel, how far now?
What's good?
Another man you found.
What's good on, man? I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, stepping in for Shane today would have been nice to have all four of them so it would be balanced, you know, two Arsenal guys versus two man you guys. But Shane unfortunately couldn't be here with us today. He might join in between though. I don't know. He has some responsibilities. Anyway, how's your week been so far?
Hey, man. Pretty great. Pretty great. I can't wait for Premier League football to come back, man.
Who get that clock for background? It's like grandfather clock.
It's Ope's car. He says outside. Like this in the tick.
Oh.
Like this in the tick.
Yeah, okay. My bad. I'm driving right now. Let me mute myself, man.
Here we go. See, I'll be honest, my week has been stressful. And this international week did not help at all. I tried watching a few games. I tried watching Brazil. It was terrible.
Terrible.
I don't think I finished.
Terrible.
I slept off. I saw Brazil. I tried watching Brazil two times. They disappointed me two times. Same as Nigeria. So my week football wise has not been much to go by.
I think I can say that this is the worst Brazil team I've ever seen, like ever.
Yeah, fact. And I thought Fred and Co was bad, like Fred, Paulinho. Was it Paulinho? Yeah, Paulinho and them. I thought they were bad, but this is next level bad.
Atrocious. Like, bro, the funny thing is, this team can go from 0 to 100 with the inclusion of simply just Neymar. Neymar alone in this team, in that number 10 role, can completely change the dynamic of this team, which is very crazy because on paper, the team is littered with stars, you know? Like, the whole front three of, I think, the last Brazilian match, the whole front three played for Real Madrid. Hendrick, Vini, and Rodrigo. But they still need Neymar for that team to look even decent. It's actually ridiculous.
But do you think this guy is the same Neymar as we saw, like, back with pre-World Cup? I mean, he's been out for so long, and he plays in Saudi Arabia. I guess I don't need to mention that.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I don't know. He might be the same, but I don't know. Like, it's been so long. I don't really expect him to, like, come back and become what he used to be.
There's no way we're going to get.
And I heard he failed his medical self.
Yes. He failed his medical because he was injured when they signed him. So, that one, you cannot pass a medical if you have an injury. Well, right? So, they just had to take that risk on him because his Neymar. They signed him without passing the medical. But then, unfortunately, 1 year later, how many games has he played for them? I don't think we're going to get the same version of Neymar. I think from Barca to Madrid to PSG, his style has changed. You know, Barca, he was a pure pacey winger, do you understand, killing people. And PSG slowly transitioned to a 10. Not just because he improved technically, also because he had lost pace. He has lost that Brazilian gene. The Brazilian gene has started entering his distance, also plus the numerous injuries. You know, he has lost pace. So he has had to adjust, you know, he has had to adjust to being slower, to playing, you know, without being so fast. So I believe after this injury, like the more he injures, the older he gets, he will keep on losing more and more and more things. Do you understand? He'll keep on losing more and more. So you have to adjust.
Yeah, my own is, I saw him before the World Cup and in the World Cup, and I think it was amazing. Just the last game I watched him play was World Cup, and I think it was good. And that's not, I mean, it's been a while, Sha. 2022, right? It's been a while, but that's the last game. If he's anything like what he was before he got injured, yeah, I might be inclined to agree, but it's been so long that I wouldn't like really bank on that, to be honest. This Brazil team, I don't know. I don't have that much hope for them. They might qualify for the World Cup, even though they are at risk of not qualifying, but I would be very, very surprised if they don't qualify, especially with the fact that they've even like increased the number of teams that can qualify. So that would be crazy. And right now, they're actually at risk of not qualifying. Imagine a World Cup without Brazil. Opeji, you get any thoughts?
Yeah, I think once you go to Saudi, man, I don't think your bowling abilities are to speak anymore. But this Brazil team, I've been saying, even those, their two midfielders, Paqueta and Zico Guimarães, is like they are the same people that are destroying Newcastle. Because those guys are not like proper midfielders. Like when I see Newcastle's team in the Prem and I see what is going on with it, like they have Gordon, they have Isak, and they have all these guys. But that midfield, I don't know if it's the hype or whatever, but
what do you mean? What do you mean they're not proper midfielders? Can you just like elaborate on that?
When I see a player and you don't, there are some players that when you, they don't pass the eye test, if that's a better term.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Because when I see the way they play, it's always just like they are doing gra-gra, all this kind of ball. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a pure midfielder, you'll be able to. You won't be fighting and be doing all these things. So it's that's just my opinion about them. But I'm like the same thing you were saying, Neymar is probably what they are missing. And I think Neymar really in the World Cup for Brazil is something different. So like, but not seeing him in this thing. And Ronaldinho has already even said it that these guys are not they are not what they used to be, I beg.
He said it was to inspire the Brazilians. Like, no meaning.
Man, he meant that shit 100%.
Bro. Nigga meant that shit, bro.
Well, I mean, I get what he means by like these guys. Because actually, watching Newcastle, I think they're not necessarily a team that will like hold the ball, control play, break you down slowly, and score. They are great on the counter. Honestly, I don't know if I might have. My previous opinion on Paqueta is slightly changing. I don't think he's the kind of 10 Brazilians are used to. He does like flicks and tricks, yeah, but he doesn't seem as creative as I thought he was.
I don't even like him in the 10 for West Ham. I believe that spot belongs to Kudus. They should not be playing him there. They should play him left wing or something.
Kudus is very direct, though.
Yeah.
Won't you be like wasting his space and skill if you put him in the center?
I just think he is I think Kudus is such a, I agree with what you're saying, he can play on the wing, you know, he can, he's very good on the right and left, but I just feel like Kudus is such a talented player that the team should be built around him. I don't know, I think there's also a heavy element of African bias here, so don't cook me for it.
maybe my is that way around. So what are you saying? Wait, were you saying something?
Yeah, I was just... I agree with this guy, man. Kudus is like the star guy there. I mean, they have other ballers, Sha. Bowen be trying too. But I think Kudus might be better on the wing. Like, if he comes from the right wing and just cuts him, bro, that is left leg. Come on. Yeah, which any keeper, like, the shot is like proper shot. So, kudos. I'll prefer to be cutting it from the wing, yeah.
Nah, he's their star guy for sure, no doubt. Reminds me of Tevez back in the Barclays Men era.
Barclays Men. Can never forget. Actually, Tevez is a very prime example of a Barclays man. How do you think of Barclays? It's one of the people that comes to mind.
Tevez is a legend.
Yeah.
Kudus has taken that. West Ham be having like all these very, very interesting like star boys that just be on their own.
Even this.
Like, I remember Paye, now Kudus.
Ah! Dimitri Paye.
Previously.
Real baller.
Bro.
That guy.
Yeah, they showed up, killed EPL for like 2 seasons and went back to France. Bro,
went to Marseille.
Yeah.
Went to Marseille. His free kick ability, man.
The guy is still balling now. Not like crazy, but.
He's like 39.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Nah, but that season he had was ridiculous. Where he had more assists than even Ozil, and that was like prime Ozil. Mm. That's not.
Would you call Ozil a Barclays man as well?
When I think of Barclays man, I'd be thinking of Everton, Lukaku,
like Miralas, all those people.
Miralas. These guys like Gerrard. Honestly, this guy should be part of them. Ross Barkley never.
Oh, I lie.
Barkley, bro, that nigga is too balling, bro.
And the Carroll, that one season, Newcastle.
Well, Ross Barkley actually, you know, he lost form. He lost form for a couple of years, and then now he has picked it back up again. And I'm like, wow, I love when players get that redemption arc, right? There are so many players I'm waiting for their redemption arc, you know. But
Rashford might have one. Sure. He has the age.
No more. See, Rashford. Yeah. I don't know if I should say this on the pod. My feelings towards Rashford. My feelings.
Like Rashford a lot.
Of course.
I don't know. I'm not sure I want him anymore.
So. I'll say this. Most of my highs as a Manchester United fan in the last couple of years have been synonymous with Rashford. Most of my highs, you know, the PSG, this thing, comeback. He's mostly involved, but I just personally feel that if we're trying to make our way back to the top, like to the top, like of like where we're used to being, I don't know, this 10 years have passed, so I don't know if I can say used to anymore, but you cannot have Rashford as your star boy. I'm sorry, his game is too limited. And the problem is, you need your star player to have mental strength. Rashford things get to him too much. Your game cannot be so easily affected. Do you understand? Like, small team.
I get what you mean.
I'm like, bro, you need killers like Ronaldo. That's, you know, like, I can't remember. I think against Liverpool.
How many people can you find it like Ronaldo?
Yeah, against Liverpool, when you were 37, 38, his child died. Nigga played the next game. I think he scored 2 goals or something like that. You need some shit like that, not Rashford.
So it wasn't Ronaldo's fault. Going to say it wasn't Ronaldo's fault then. Like all this drama that Ten Hag was having with this guy initially, because I was like, Ronaldo coming back and the way they were just shitting on Ronaldo and pushing this nigga out, I was like, bro, Ronaldo is still one of the best strikers, especially him playing for like Man U. This nigga was ready to give his all for this shit. And I was telling these guys, but anyway, we have seen it.
You know,
my point about that is that it wasn't Ronaldo's fault. I think it was the management's fault. I don't think Ronaldo, first of all, Manu has a lot of problems, but Ronaldo, at current Ronaldo, what he is right now, is not a solution.
Yes.
So there was no point in buying him.
Actually, I will go further to say, The buying of Ronaldo is what ruined Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's chance of doing anything reasonable. I don't know if you remember, before that, we had a trio of Rashford, Cavani, and Greenwood before Greenwood decided to go do what he did, right? and Greenwood had already particularly taken up this goal scoring mantle. Him and Cavani had formed a very good partnership.
They would have still arrested him.
Yeah, they would have still arrested him, but I'm just saying. in an alternative universe, right? Greenwood was learning a lot from Cavani. They had formed like a friendship, a partnership on the field. You could see they had this thing. Rashford, thankfully, people had removed eye from him being our main man and our primary goal scorer. Do you understand? Because we had other people that were doing the job. So it was going well. Do you understand? Ole spent the whole summer begging for a DM. Or spent the whole transfer window begging for a DM. He said we should go and get Rice. Right? He was begging for Rice. Manchester United goes, signs Cristiano Ronaldo and fucks up the dressing room, fucks up the whole dynamic of everything. The piece of Cavani, when Cavani heard that Ronaldo was coming, Cavani tried to leave. He wanted to leave. We begged him to stay, only to bench him for the whole season. Then Greenwood goes and it just messed everything up. Everything just got fucked. Ronaldo's coming back to the dressing room. To Manchester United was good for nostalgia, but for team building, for everything we're working towards, that was just a terrible idea. And the reason we got him so that he wouldn't go to City. Finish. We didn't need him. Just so that he wouldn't go to City. So now I'm thinking, are you sure Guardiola did not pump fake us?
But Guardiola came out and said that he didn't ask Ronaldo. So I don't know why that news keeps
coming. Are you sure he didn't pump fake us? Because Ole, after signing, at the same time Ole was asking for Declan Rice, he was also begging for Haaland. He was saying, this is a young boy. We should go and get Haaland. You know, that time Haaland would have come for 4 million. So I'm saying, are you sure, man? City did not pump fake us with that Cristiano rubbish, right? So they could go and get Haaland.
To be honest, it's hard for like Ronaldo to be available. I'm minded to have the ability to get him and then them not get him at that time. So it's no surprise.
That's what I'm saying. Just getting Ronaldo by himself, I don't think it really. I mean, that didn't stop them from getting Declan Rice. Man, you has money now. But anyhow, the whole dynamic, Sha, at this point, I guess if Ten Hag seems to have bought all the players that he wants now. So I don't know, Gary, do you feel like this is like the best management like moving forward? Like to get Man U back to where they used to be before?
I would have sacked Ten Hag November last year. I personally feel like Ten Hag has been in the job for almost a year longer than I would have kept him. He is awful. We have wasted so much money. Now, if you compare it to other people that were, my United fans are always saying, "Oh, Ineos." We have always been backed financially in the market. Always. Like, from...
That's what I've always said,
actually. As long as I've known Manchester United, we have always... But the thing is, we have always seemed to buy the wrong fit. It's always the wrong fit because we have not gotten the right coaches, you know. But at least, every coach that we have bought, that we have gotten, I would say has had more successful signings than failed signings. Ten Hag is kind of the opposite. Almost everybody he has signed has been fucking awful, man. I don't know if I can cuss on this pod. There's just been so, like, bro, come on. Like, imagine we need a 9, you are bringing Wout Weghorst. Like, are we actually serious? Like, are we actually serious? Like, we needed Casemiro has been declining. Everybody has saw Casemiro, that Brazilian gene I keep talking about. Everybody keeps when I see it, everybody says like it's funny, but you can see it. You cannot tell me Brazilians don't have a gene, bro.
I disagree with Casemiro a little bit.
What?
I think I disagree on two things.
Why?
You said most of the signings have been successful from the previous managers.
Yes.
Are you sure?
I would say more often. Okay. Now, they don't have to be a raging success, but we can't have... we've had, more, I think, more failures than successes. We have to add the loans. Sabitzer, Amrabat. Bro, they've all been L's. Anthony. We have Malasia. We don't know where that one is. We don't know where he's at. Malasia right now. We don't know where he has been. They keep extending the distance. They keep extending the dates. So, like, I think I would say when I say a success, okay, let me take that word back. Most of our signings have been decent, right? They give not decent. Mm-hmm. Somebody like, for example, like Fellaini, you can't call him a success, right? But he was a decent signing, right?
I mean, he was better than most.
Yeah, he did his job. Do you understand? So
looks like Ope won't drop soon. Before you come out, Ope, I want to ask you something actually. How are you feeling about the weekend with Odegaard and Co missing?
this weekend, Odegaard, it's not even just Odegaard. If it was just Odegaard, I think I would be good. He's the right one that is pissing me off. So it's like, at this point, I don't know. I think Ateta can figure it out, shall I? He can figure something out, at least against Tottenham. And hopefully, if Rice is back against Man City, maybe we'll be able to do something. But Odegaard seems like he'll be out for a good bit. But it seems like we have...
Jorginho can enter the end.
Jorginho can be playing at this point. Jorginho is like... I think Jorginho is more like a second choice at this point. We won't want to play Jorginho against like a Man City. Like, that's not our first option. So at top, our first midfield right now that we actually purchased, all of them, they are all injured, which is pretty crazy, Sha, because it's like
Partey.
Hope it's not about Partey injury.
No, Merino.
No, Partey is not the starting choice. It's Merino, Rice, and Odegaard.
Partey is not the first. Really?
Partey is not the Rice is the starting choice. I would think, but
no, Rice and Odegaard for sure. I mean, the...
Yeah, Rice and Odegaard. Merino just came, so I think they signed him for a reason. I mean, Vieira, I don't think they will have signed Merino to come and start.
Vieira is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so ideally...
So,
yeah.
Ideally, who is there?
Wait.
It will be Havertz, Partey and Jorginho then.
Probably. Or Havertz... Yeah, Havertz. Yeah, you said Havertz, right?
Yes, Havertz, Partey, Jorginho.
Partey and Jorginho. Kai.
Jesus, that's not good.
So people are asking for that 10-year-old boy to come in. Ethan Nwaneri.
Bruh.
They will show him Pepe. So crazy, they will be showing Pepe.
I swear.
That's not for that clamoring movie for him on the TL. A lot of them are actually excited.
Who are you guys playing? What are you guys playing? Sports?
Spurs.
I'm not against Spurs. You cannot start him against Spurs, man. That's not a good place to throw him in, man. No, they can really do him dirty, man. They can really do him dirty.
There's a section of Arsenal fans that are actually happy with Rudiger getting injured, but they can play Ethan.
Ethan, that is so crazy.
Guys, you'll be wondering if your if your club fans are insane. What does that you? Odegaard is the heartbeat of that midfield. Like, that's fucking great.
Arsenal fans are mad. Arsenal fans are confused, me, bro. I don't understand them.
Like,
that doesn't make sense.
But it's kind of odd. That Ateta didn't keep a backup for Odegaard, though. Right,
backup forward.
Odegaard. I don't think it's odd.
Does Man City have backup for Haaland?
But if Haaland injures, they can do that thing, no striker thing that they did before now.
Now the same thing with Odegaard. If Odegaard injured, we go.
Why not keep Smith Rowe?
He needed football though. Smith Rowe won't play. It's kind of the same thing as this guy going to Atletico Madrid. Like, if you can clearly see you is no hope for you for being the first choice. Especially being that young and you believe you're talented, you most likely leave.
But I think Smith Rowe left because he just was not getting game time. Kabisa, period. You know, the difference between not being the first choice. For example, like somebody like Bruno right now. Any other 10 in Manchester United, we had Donny van de Beek. He had to leave because Bruno has missed 7 games his whole career. He does not injure.
Yeah.
He doesn't injure.
Yeah, so, this guy never injures as well. Odegaard never injures. Odegaard, Saka, I think I rarely ever injures Rice. They don't injure at all.
So
it's going to be hard to play at all if you're supporting someone like Rice and Odegaard, who basically almost plays. And then the worst is Saka. Saka barely misses any game. So if you're the backup to them, if you have any kind of ambition, you probably leave.
Right. Yeah. Consistency, guys. But anyway. Yeah. I guess drop right now. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Right, I'll be catching a little. Well. Yeah.
All right, man. All right. So I'm trying to see if you have any wingers in your team.
We have Sterling. That was looking like a great signing at this point. I didn't think so before, but at this point, I'm actually glad we signed him.
So you will play Sterling on the, bro. No midfield. God, this game is going to be very tough. Could you name your starting 11 if you were picking?
If I was speaking, mm-hmm. I'll probably play.
Calafiori is injured too.
I mean, if Jesus is not.
Eh? Calafiori is injured too, in case you've forgotten.
Oh, yeah, but we still have Timber. The defense basically picks itself.
Yeah.
Timber, Saliba, Gabriel, and
Ben White. Not Zinchenko.
Zinchenko probably won't play, at least he might not start. Because Spurs are. Tend to want to keep the ball just as much as Arsenal. So playing Zinchenko. When you know they're going to come at us, they're not going to sit back.
Mm-hmm.
It might be risky. I mean, he's a great footballer. If he plays, he might do well. But I'm just saying, like, I'll be more inclined to play someone that is more solid at the back, like Timber.
Why don't you guys just chuck? Why don't you guys just... This might be a crazy thought, but midfield is light, right? Why don't you guys just chuck Zinchenko in there? Is it
him? Yeah, but does he have physicality? I don't mind playing. See, I think I might be influenced by what the game has become these days. Because back in the days, no one had any issue playing someone small in the middle of the park. But now, I think playing Zinchenko as a left back who can come in and add to the numbers in the midfield, that makes sense to dominate the game. But if you're playing a team that would come at you directly, you might be more inclined to play someone that is more physically robust. Middle of the pack.
Okay.
Yet that's probably why I believe Arteta might go with more physicality in the middle. And now he doesn't have Rice. The chance of playing Zinchenko there is even less. So he'll probably go with Havertz, Pate, like you said earlier, Pate and this guy, and and Jorginho. It's crazy what the guys actually missing.
Do you guys still have Elneny?
Yeah, I think he's still there. But I don't know if they have these guys. Jesus might actually play. But if he doesn't play, they might actually... Martinelli has played at centre forward before. He won't be alien to that position.
I think I might even prefer Martinelli as a centre forward. The guy's a goal scorer.
Yeah, but
remember when...
He's lacking in confidence now. Bro.
Yeah, but I can't remember who was forcing him to play 9. Before he started complaining that he wants to be on the wing. I remember he gave an interview saying he prefers the wing, right? But there's time some...
This guy, Emery?
Yeah, I think Emery was making... And he was banging. He was scoring so much. Like, this time he was
scoring headers.
Hmm?
This season, he was actually scoring flying headers. Yes.
He's lacking in confidence, but I don't get it. Because attention. I don't get why he's lacking confidence. Because that left wing starting spot is his, right? Is his, like, that's your sport. So what is like you're playing so much. I don't get what is
since he came back from that injury, like from previous season, then the last season, the previous 2 seasons, the last season, he did not look like himself last season at all.
I'll go.
I think that might be playing in his mind. You know, if you go a couple of games without scoring,
mm-hmm.
that tends to get to a lot of players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he just needs one mad goal. I think he might get back to popping it in again.
Yeah.
But this guy, Trossard, I love Trossard. He definitely starts. He has to start.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking still reeling from last game, Sha, against Brighton. That was such a We had that game. I don't understand.
Yeah, there's no reason why you guys shouldn't have this thing. Won that.
It is what it is.
I'm thinking Sterling comes and completely takes that left spot.
I don't doubt that.
If Sterling can recreate, you cannot count Sterling in Chelsea because Chelsea was abysmal. Like anybody would have looked bad there. But I feel like if Sterling can give you 8/10 of what he gave City, he will be a fantastic sign. That 8/10 of what he was at City would be the best winger on your team, bar Salah, bar Saka. So, it would be.
You see that tweet?
Hmm?
You see that stuff from Perez about Doku and Saka.
What is Perez smoking, man?
Personally, I feel like he might be trying to motivate Saka.
Is he smoking?
But that was just rubbish.
How many goals has Doku scored in his career?
Yeah.
Mr. No End Product. Is it due to
that guy had one move?
Yeah. Is it due to
that guy had one move?
Yeah.
Who is dribbling?
Yeah, just a glory.
That is one move.
Yeah, glory.
You push him to one side.
And then he does not pass the right back test. Have you heard it? Is it Doku? Doku only does
when the guy is young, actually. When the guy is young, actually.
Doku only does well. Not pass when the his fullback is over 32. Once his fullback is under 32, they lock him up. See what Wan-Bissaka did to him. The guy had to switch wing.
Even this guy now, when he played against us,
everybody has come. Every Ben White wanted to kill him. Every and the good thing is that he can play both wings. So when you clamp him somewhere, you switch wing.
But God, I've never seen one that runs from fight as much as Doku.
He does not waste time. Man will switch wing 15 minutes into the game. He's like, I'm done with this.
He looks at the guy, he fed the guy, he goes, look at him, oh, I know how to do this one today. I think I go first thing with my size.
Yeah, he will go and give he will give this thing to Foden. Let Foden come and do the work for him. You know, Foden, I think, is a very good player, by the way. I don't know why everybody disrespects Phil Foden. I think he's a good player.
Foden, okay. I'm not getting any disrespect. Nah, fuck with Foden.
Hmm?
I feel like, honestly, for the past couple of seasons, I think the most disrespected player is Saka, to be honest. I don't understand why. Especially on social media, you're coming for my man.
Okay,
I think it's just that narrative of him not dribbling, which I don't even understand. I actually see him dribble.
The thing is, the reason why a lot of people, I guess, do not rate him is because when it comes to wingers, the position that he plays, a lot of people like Griba. They like Doku kind of wingers. Saka plays like he was brought up in the academy. He plays like an academy footballer. He does not play like a street boy. He doesn't do all these fancy things, all these this thing. That's why when people look at Saka, they look at his game kind of like plain, boring. Saka does not take unnecessary touches. Mm-hmm. He doesn't take unnecessary touches. He does not do more than every move is intentional. So I think
he clearly prioritizes efficiency.
Yes, he's a very efficient player.
He prioritizes efficiency. He's similar to Salah in a sense.
Exactly, as I was about to say, it's the same reason why people don't rate Salah. Like, no matter what these people are doing, people just see them as like they're not people like Ronaldo could do, like, even with the goal scoring, Ronaldo was still a very exciting player. Do you understand? Like, you people want that flair, you know, and these two players, they don't have time for, they really don't have time for the bullshit. Is
that changed though?
Hmm?
If Ronaldo was if I started watching Ronaldo from Madrid, I would have thought he was boring.
But Madrid Ronaldo too. He stopped doing all the stepovers and that. But Ronaldo still used to dribble. His game was so exciting, bro.
Yeah, I used to see. So I actually used to like be more. But I didn't watch La Liga growing up, till Ronaldo versus Messi.
Mm-hmm.
So the version of Ronaldo I saw at Man U, like, to me at that point in my life, he was better than Messi. because I remember Messi from 05, mm-hmm. 2005, mm-hmm. when I was in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then when I started watching El Clasico, that first couple of seasons, Ronaldo was still kind of flashy, but at some point, man, basically zeroed
into the nine. He zeroed into the nine, yes. But
in terms of exciting to
do you remember that goal that against, do you remember that goal against the Schalke? Where he had yellow jersey on.
Where he
dances through three niggas and then he was still dribbling now.
Yeah, but that was an irregularity though. Like I could watch him throughout the full game. I remember that time that commentator was he something that was like incredible, Dark Invader, blah 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 blah.
Roy Hudson. That guy? Ray Hudson.
This thing they're talking about Haaland today. In my read back then, I still remember clearly. You say Ronald might have like three touches a whole or four touches a whole game and score two goals.
Like, yeah.
That when I started seeing that happen way more from Madrid.
Yeah.
Very early on.
Yeah.
So in terms of excitingness, I think I used to get it more from even like Isco, Di Maria, all those guys that were like his supporting cast back then.
Yeah.
Like he was more focused on like sneaking into the 18 and getting his goal. But then if you watch
back, he was still scoring screamers at that point. Now
he was scoring screamers. Yeah. I'm just talking about general play. Yeah. General play. Like I still remember Man U Ronaldo. I still remember Ronaldinho. Like bro, even without them scoring, you blew my mind. That kind of Man U Ronaldo. That's tough, man. I think that's probably why I even fell in love with. I definitely have a bias towards like flashy players. I can't even cap because my first best player was Ronaldinho and Thierry Henry, okay. And then Neymar, so that means, of course, from Santos. Right? Hello? I think we lost Daniel. Let me see. Hello? Risky Alpha?
Slight technical issues. I don't know what happened. I just stopped hearing you and then my phone couldn't connect back. But we are back. What were we talking about?
Oh, I was talking about how I felt Ronaldo, whereas still being, I guess, honestly, I think standards are different. Honestly, if I was watching that version of Ronaldo now, that would look very exciting to me. But I guess back then, because like, guy, Ronaldinho, at that point, El Clasico, Messi, and everything. It was different, man. Our guys like, there were so many exciting players still available at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Suarez at Liverpool.
Unbelievable player.
No, they were ballers, a lot of ballers. Mm-hmm. Bale, Di Maria, Ozil at Madrid, Isco, there was just so much, Neymar. So, by that standard, Ronaldo to me was mostly about goals, like scoring goals. Yeah. But of course, Tuesday stuff is by no means as... it's not necessarily Haaland.
Yes, he was... Haaland is a... But Haaland will outscore Ronaldo. Bar anything crazy happening... Buy anything because first of all, Haaland, I
think at this rate, I see that happening.
Easily. That's what I'm saying. Buy anything crazy like a career end.
I won't say easily, I won't say easily, but he probably could. If anybody can, he can.
What do you know how many goals Haaland is on right now?
No, I get at his current rates. Uh-huh. I see that happening. Well, maintaining that kind of rate for. Those many years, those many seasons, you know, it's you.
Oh, he has to. You know, but the thing is, okay, so he has done it. I think I would have liked to say that, okay, maybe if Pep leaves, his goals can reduce. But we can't say that because he has maintained that goal-to-game ratio since Dortmund, since wherever he has gone. I think pretty much the only place that he has not done that is the Norway national team. I'm not very sure. But...
Bro... You know why I said you never know? Because at the end of the day, you know Delima. Delima started with fire as well. Same thing.
That's what I'm saying. Buy anything crazy like a career-ending injury. Yeah. Buy anything like that.
Yeah, but Delima's one was sad, bro. This guy was doing like 49 in something at 19.
49 in 48, or is it 49 in 47?
At 19 years old, his first season in Barcelona. Bro, in all his teams, this guy was averaging almost a goal per game.
He was incredible.
This guy was like a teenager.
And the best thing about it is that he was doing all those things and he was still passing the eye test. Guy, he was incredible to watch.
He was till that his injury in 1999.
Mm-hmm. And he adapted. He adapted so much, but the injuries overcame
him. He was scoring,
but injuries overcame him after some point. Like, you can only adapt so much.
Mm-hmm.
You adapt. You get another crushing injury. You adapt your gameplay. Another crushing injury.
And one is like years injury. No, like
five weeks,
3 weeks.
Yes. Injuries kill some great players, man. Injuries can destroy. See Gareth Bale, bro. Hey, God. What a player, bro.
Is it golf or injury that keep
I think what killed Bale's career was three things. Injury, Madrid/Zidane. Like,
because it was his own case, he actually came back from the injury. He wasn't injured.
A lot of times. Zidane just was not fuck with the guy. Which was so odd because when he won Zidane the Champions League. Practically that
he won Madrid like this.
Yes, where he shot that ball from the first goal, the one that shocked Karius. That Karius put the ball in.
Yeah, Karius.
He got shot from like 40 yards. He was so angry. How can you leave Gareth Bale on the bench?
Bale was on that Barclays man. Bro.
Yeah.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Even high key self.
I was waiting for Bale to make his comeback. Like I said, I sympathize a lot with supremely talented players who are struggling. Every supremely talented player in this world who is struggling, I sympathize with, except like the very stupid ones, like Balotelli. You know, that one just messed up himself. Like, that one, who can pity the guy? Like, can't really pity somebody like that. But every supremely talented player, it doesn't even matter, even in rival teams, I will not say it outside. But deep in my heart, I'm hoping that they come good. There's so many of them.
No, I love watching the best talents. Like, I don't really celebrate when someone I enjoy watching gets injured. Even if I'm playing that, like even when Arsenal was playing against Bayern Munich, I still wanted Musiala to play.
Yes,
like regardless.
Yeah, like, even in rival teams, I don't watch them. Players like Aubameyang, guy, I was tuning in every day. I loved it, bro. Son.
Yeah, I really. The first time I watched Aubameyang was in a friendly match. I don't know who Gabon was playing. And I saw this guy looking like Neymar with the same mohawk. Who the heck is this? This guy was running on the wing. Like, he was knocking the ball forward, like, basically doing what Bale was doing to Inter Milan. I was like, who the heck is this? And at that point, I think their all time top scorer was one striker. He had the ball there. Mm-hmm. I think that's who's game. I don't remember his name, but for Gabon. I looked him up. This was way back in Nigeria, and I looked him up. We were playing for Sentencia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow. I still follow him from then, way back, before Dortmund actually bought him. And he looked, because he reminded me of Henri. I thought he was like Henri. I was thinking that's not Wenger will buy him. And it's crazy, he ended up coming to Arsenal.
Bro, it was the perfect Aubameyang to Arsenal was written in the stars. It's so sad that it didn't work out. It was literally a perfect, what did he say, Aubameyang to Arsenal? It just made sense. He just seemed like an Arsenal player.
Too much sense.
Bro, Aubameyang's pace was unreal, guy. Like, see, this team, he's a player that his pace was... You know when you see other fast players, like Mbappe, Adama Traore, they run fast, but with Aubameyang, when Aubameyang starts to sprint, it really looked like everybody else is in slow motion, bro. All the players are is moving.
It looked like a sprinter. It looks like
everybody else is slowed down. It was unbelievable.
Like Vavavoom.
Bro. And then he's finishing, bro. You see that cheap thing that he used to love doing? Time, man.
Yeah, his R2, the way he plays, his side foot, the way he places the ball, that he loved that finish. That's like reminiscent of Henry. He didn't have all of like Henry's technique, but loved some of it and the speed. He had it.
Love the fact that he could utilize his speed. You see, that speed alone gave him, I would say his pace gave him an extra 10 goals a season. Wallahi, because once he would run in behind, like literally, it's a waste of time. There's no center back in the world that could catch him, really. It's like, it was.
It's sad though that. I guess Arsenal's play changed a bit, so we didn't see that pace as much as we saw it in Dortmund. He was still scoring, he was still great and everything, but we didn't see it because we didn't play as much on the counter.
I think we saw more of it when they put him on the left, though, as opposed
coming from the
left. As opposed to when he was playing the nine. Yeah.
It was great, but I know when Arteta came in, it looked like the ball just changed. We stay actually, because with Emery, we're actually like we are more adaptable. Like we changed. We didn't look like Arsenal before. I'll be honest, he didn't. Well, I think Arteta kind of like went back, reverted it to a bit more to more Pep style.
Yeah, I think. And you see that possession ball, it does not suit Aubameyang. Possession football. Aubameyang is not very. Those were actually the flaws in his game. Aubameyang possession football.
His hold up
play is not the best. Yes. He used to lose possession a lot, but I personally believe though that if you utilize Aubameyang the way City utilizes Haaland, right? Maybe in this current Arsenal team right now, carry Aubameyang play Mazina in the way he was when he was in this team. Utilizing the way you use Haaland, where he's not involved in the build up. Just get him to score, him behind. I believe he will score bucket loads of goals. Like to be crazy. I mean, he's a confidence player. Once he starts scoring, he really starts scoring.
He's still good, but I think this guy has physicality over him, though, which Haaland also has. Havertz, I think Havertz being 6'4" and kind of an imposing presence, kind of helps us for low blocks. More than Aubameyang.
I'm sorry.
That's another factor to consider.
True. But first of all, the way I feel about Havertz is so. I don't know. There's something about Havertz that I just don't like. He's not. He doesn't seem like a killer to me. He seems so. However, the game goes.
I get what you mean. It's his demeanor, the way he
lacks intensity. He looks like he's like a Sancho.
Yeah, but it looks like that, but then the numbers don't correlate because he actually be very.
No, he actually does a lot for you guys, but then that's because I think you guys create the most. Don't you guys create the most chances in the league or something? Look at the team is playing
for. Statistically, he has a lot of intensity, but it does not look like he has intensity. He's such a weird player. Honestly, I didn't really like him before, but I can't.
He's very
I can't disagree.
He's very useful.
The numbers and like some of the games I've actually watched, he has impressed me.
He can play.
So I think I've come around since January. Mm-hmm. I've been coming around slowly. I'm like, okay, yeah. And I see him in Germany as well. I'm like, okay, we might actually have something.
Yeah. Like, he can play anywhere.
But I wouldn't go as far as that people calling him Van Persie. He might get there one day. This guy can score 20 goals a season. I'm actually put money on, I won't put money against him scoring up to 20 Premier League goals. I actually wouldn't.
He's very technical. Extremely technical. So,
the guy is scoring every other game.
Yeah.
At the rate he's been going.
Maybe. I don't like sluggish players. Like, I don't. No matter how good you are, I need you to have.
I remember our conversation with Ozio way back in Georgia South.
I don't like you, bro. I don't know. I need the player to look like he's putting in effort. Jonathan, just at least just for me.
So you like Gallagher?
Nah, man. Yeah, people that run out.
I mean, you should love Jude then. I don't think anybody looks like putting effort more than Jude. Jude is basically a guy like a tech.
Jude. You know my problem with Jude?
Jude be actually working hard.
Yes, yes, absolutely. His defensive rate is amazing. His work rate is amazing. Whatever I tell him to do, he does it. Even in this number 10 role, you know. But here's my problem with Jude. I am of the opinion that a number 10 has to be creative. You see this late arriving, box bombing 10. That's their primary attribute. You're a 10 and your primary attribute is to score goals and not create. I don't like. So, people like, who are 10s that score more than they create? Why am I blanking right now? All them miss them out. Those kind of people, all them, who else is a 10 that scores more than he creates? There are so many in football. Why am I blanking? Jesus Christ.
These days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But number 10 that is not, a number 10 that is not creative, Jude is one of them. Do you understand? Jude will not pick a 30-yard pass. Do you understand? Bend it the way them, Madison, all those people can do. Do you understand? Bruno, KDB. Your 10 should be a creative force. Like, your 10 is supposed to be all them Lingard. That's another person I had in mind. Lingard. The ones that score. I don't, you know. So, people like Jude will never be, although I think he's a fantastic player. Like, there's some games you see him and it's actually incredible. I can't remember which game I was talking about him on the group chat.
Yeah, he's not necessarily like a Wan-Mata.
I need a Wan-Mata. I need an Ozil. I need that. I need somebody Isco, somebody that can drop it on a dime. James Rodriguez. I was praying for Manchester United.
You know Odegaard.
Odegaard is, you know, I have very interesting thoughts on Odegaard. I also think Odegaard is a fantastic player, but his creativity, when you're talking about those people I just mentioned now, you cannot talk about Odegaard in the same.
That was actually disrespectful, given that last season in open play, he did what you say he doesn't do more than any of them, which I will never understand. This guy was right up there in terms of true balls, whatever, like right up there with Bruno last season. And taking to the fact that Bruno actually takes set pieces and he doesn't. So in open play, he actually had more.
Their pass is that, you see all these people that I mentioned, people who can make passes. Do you understand? They can make. I see Odegaard more of like an 8. I think.
No, I think the guy can play as an 8, but if anything, honestly, I also doubted he was like a Madison kind of player. I thought he was more of a like controlling tempo, 1-2s and everything. But last season, all those balls that people are saying, Bruno, this guy was doing it easily. Not many highlight reels like that. His left foot.
No, Odegaard did well last season. I just don't.
Crazy passes.
I don't know. I would love to see him
dropping it for Martinelli, putting Havertz through. Giving Saka, guy, even this over the top, or more. Nah, this guy.
Yeah, he's talking about the Yamal cross.
That one is for Saka. Odegaard is more like, you know, using less foot to like defense splitting passes. That's what Odegaard. In terms of that kind of like cheap, it's not Yamal. Messi does that. Neymar does that. That's, I don't know why they're calling Yamal cross these days.
It's simply just because of the tournament.
Messi loved that one, but his own is even. We lost Daniel again. What is happening?
What is this thing keep happening?
This is happening.
Yeah.
Sorry for all the interruptions. Wagwan. Hello. I can't hear you. But they see you. Why don't they hear you? Hello.
What's up?
How far? I wonder what's in the app.
Dude, I don't know. It gets to a particular point and then I don't know if it's the phone. It's definitely not the internet. Because I'm playing something here. It just freezes up. And then I can't connect.
Don't know what's going on. Killing the flow of the conversation.
Yeah. For real. What were we talking about again, sir?
Hey, I know it was a very this thing. We're talking about number 10s that can.
Oh, yeah. I actually wanted to remind you about, you remember like when Mourinho like came to Chelsea and he didn't like Mata, he preferred Oscar because of how hardworking he was. Honestly, I just think the game just basically redefined that number 10 rule. Mm-hmm. Yep, like now you have to like actually put more effort and work hard. And once I noticed that like combining physicality and creativity, sometimes some players find it very difficult. That's probably why talents like Isco and James are not in the biggest clubs right now.
Yeah. James is somebody I'm so happy.
James did not like working here. Don't like stress.
I'm so happy that he is well, at least back in Europe. I think it was such a. I don't like seeing talented players, uber talented players, like having, you know, like just going to waste, especially at this age. Do you understand? So James really like,
for real,
the kind of turn his career took. Even though I agreed, he's not very professional. I'm like, it doesn't make sense that people like Anthony. And in Europe, and somebody like James cannot make it, you know? So,
would you be surprised if Anthony goes somewhere and actually balls out? Like, maybe goes to a smaller Premier League club?
Well, it's very possible. It's very possible.
I think he's talented. I don't think he's in the...
I don't think he'll make it.
He's not... I don't think... He's talented, but I think he's
over. I don't think he'll make it in the Premier League. I think the Premier League is a different... It's too high quality for him. I feel like if he goes to a lower league, he would decimate them. Like all this, like Turkey.
No, I don't necessarily agree. He didn't decimate Eredivisie. He starts 7 goals. Like he wasn't. He has never really been a crazy goal scorer. To be fair,
but he was a baller.
He can. Yeah, he can. I wouldn't say I watched the full game of him. I was like, oh man, this guy's crazy. He'd be having moments. It's not as if you'd be running games anyway. You could take on players. I've seen some games in my life, he looked decent, if I'm being honest.
I'm lying to you. The only game I've ever seen decent for my U was his first game, his debut.
Do you know what I think? I think it's pressure. My U might just be too much of a, like, a hell of a big stage for him. Probably in his head. If he goes to maybe like an Everton or a Newcastle, I don't think it's the league per se, because he does lose, like, doesn't have that much confidence as much as he had in his first game, probably, or in his previous team. It might be a confidence thing.
Or,
I think he should go to a different club, like an Everton.
Because of watching him, I'm convinced that he doesn't have a bag.
Oh, man, like, this is
actually no bag.
Becoming very annoying.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it time to call it a day, guys? Because we lost Daniel again. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Let me see.
What the hell is going on?
All right, guys. It was a fun conversation with Okbe and Daniel, despite all the technical issues. Hopefully, this is the last we'll experience. That's a bit unlikely. I don't know, you know, all these computers, but it was a nice chat, and let's do this next time. All right, guys, bye-bye.